God bless you all this morning. Welcome you in the name of the Lord. And just before I forget, or before it slips my mind, my Father sends his love to you all and greetings to each one. So, Brother Peter, if you wouldn't mind, would you like to open in prayer this morning? Let's just bow our heads.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord, that you've blessed us with. Lord, I pray for each one of us here gathered and those listening on the internet this morning, Lord, that somehow, Lord, you will meet their needs. Lord, just bless their bodies and just bless their souls, Lord, as we gather unto your name this morning. We just pray, Lord, that your message, Lord, will come forth loud and clear. Lord, that we will have a direction for our lives, Lord, that we need not stumble and fall, Lord, but we can have a direction and a purpose for living. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you have given to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shall we stand and sing More About Jesus, number 378?
Love the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Love His faithfulness and His goodness unto us.
So we sing number 199, What a Friend I Have in Jesus. Needs encouragement this morning.
Hallelujah.
I was can't remember what I was doing last night. Was thinking about something, and that scripture came to me, the one where David, I can't remember the situation, but it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I thought about that. And if there's no one else to encourage you, there's no one else, just encourage yourself in the Lord, and He'll strengthen you.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise God.
Let's sing number 429. Give me oil in my lamp. I'm not too sure if there's any items this morning at all. No, that's all right. We can sing number 536, The Voice of My Beloved. And then I'll ask if Brother Lee would bring the prayer request if you don't mind.
The voice of my beloved, behold me, bring me God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Praise the name of the Lord. Do we have any prayer requests? Who was that? Oh, yeah. Okay. That's Sister Jeanette, is June's sister, granddaughter's. Is that right, granddaughter? Has had to go to hospital there in Mackay, no doubt. Akawumba, okay. But the Lord knows who and where and how, every detail. Any others? Okay, a white family, okay, for comfort and encouragement and all of that sort of thing that they need. The Lord knows what the details are. Was it Peter?
Yeah, we had word yesterday that Sister Mona Sutherland, well known to the fellowship here, has been admitted to Brayton House.
Okay.
For care. I believe she's not very well, so I've been in good prayers.
Okay, Sister Mona Sutherland. She's been here on occasions. Used to be quite a lot one time, but she's getting older and has gone to the rest home. Lord bless her. Okay, do we have any unspoken prayer requests? Okay, the Lord knows all about those too. Just let us bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning not to give a list of to-dos, you know all about them, everyone. But Lord, in my heart I was thinking, what we really need is to know how to praise our Lord Jesus Christ, to acknowledge you, that you are in our lives, that you're in our fellowships, that you're in our future as you've been in our past. We're very grateful for you, Lord, and we do worship you, not just in words, but in love from our heart. And we just know that you love us. And I was encouraged when Tim was telling us, Lord, about what he read in the Bible there, and said we should encourage ourselves if there's no one to encourage us for the things of God. And I thought about the things that we have in our heart, things that are unspoken prayer requests. You know about those. And Lord, we need to encourage ourselves that we don't need a whole list of people to pray with us, or it's good when they do. But all we need to do is turn to God. And you are very real, very apt, very powerful, very gentle, very encouraging. Whatever our need is, I know this, that Jesus Christ is the answer to that need. And those prayer requests that came from the congregation, Lord, just bless them, each one. I haven't written it down to remember them, but you know it all. And we love everybody. We even love our enemies. Help us to be what you want us to be. And we're supposed to love everybody the way that you love everybody. Help us, Lord, in the service today to receive what you have for us. Because we don't come in vain. There will be something for us if we just tune into it. Be with those that are not here today. There seems to be quite a number not here, Lord. Just undertake for them wherever they are. And just keep us. Be with us too also for the afternoon meeting. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
More, and then I'll ask for the help to come. Sing number 598, Deeper, Deeper. Let's sing number 282, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord, and then I'll ask if Brother Howard would come.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord, I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me through. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom,
praise the Lord. It's really good to be in the house of God, and you may be seated. And we just pray the Lord will bless us this morning as we come around His precious word. It's amazing how we just walk day by day with the Lord, and every day is a new day. Every morning, His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says, and we need His mercies. So I just pray that He'll continue to bless us and lead us by His Spirit. And we're missing a few today. A few are away, and Warrington's are down in Hawke's Bay. And others, I don't know where they are, but God does. And I pray that He'll bless them. And while I think about it, I was talking to Brother Bernard Frank in Germany. He's a brother that's sending us the organ. And he says to me, has it arrived yet? I said, no. He said, I hope we get on to this on Monday. So he's been away himself in another country, so he's just got back to Germany. He said, please greet the saints for me. I know a lot of you don't know him, but some of you do. He sends his love and greetings to you all, and praise God. Pray that the Lord will bless us, him and us. Praise be to God. Well, this morning I had a word on my heart to preach, and I had a dream last night, and it sort of sent me on another course. It was quite a dream, actually. I don't want to make anything of it. Anything extraordinary. What it was is what it was. And if it's just a dream, it's just a dream. We all have dreams. But I dreamt I was in Ireland, Northern Ireland. And I was preaching on the hills of Northern Ireland. It was very amazing, really. There were so many people. Actually, there were hundreds. And when I went around the hill a bit, there's another group. And I said, where are the microphones? You know, to reach the people. And something said to me, just speak louder. So I spoke louder. And I had a real burden and a real anointing to preach the gospel to these people. They were not believers. They were unbelievers as such. And so I was really challenged about that. And I went inside to a house there. And I went into one room and it was full of people. Then I opened another door, and that was full of people. Went to another, and that was full of people. So I just left the doors open. There seemed to be quite a hunger to hear the word of God. And I started to think about this, and I thought, I'm not doing this. And so my mind started to wander. And I was thinking about the scripture that, well, Jesus said, go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. And actually, I mentioned that to Brother Bernard, and he said, Brother Howard, I looked up that scripture 2 days ago, and I was just meditating about that myself. So I started to think about this, the highways and the byways. And so I thought, well, maybe I should speak about this morning. So I laid aside the other sermon, and I came to this one. And I want to say I'm very challenged about it. Very. We're going to be answerable, every one of you. What have you done to reach people? I don't say that judgmentally. It's a challenge to our hearts. And so I've entitled this, Where Are the Highways and Byways? Where are they? I want to stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 16. Our Lord speaking. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. You know who that was, don't you? That was our Lord. And he sent out servants. His servant at supper time and say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. You know what, brother and sister? I believe the table's been set in glory. The chairs are ready. I see the plaques on the seats with people's names on them in gold. Everything is ready. So these servants went out and they bid them to come. Verse 18 says, and they, with all one accord, one consent, began to make excuse. You know, brother and sister, my thoughts went to Noah's day, coming to church. When Noah went out and he preached to a lot of people. And a lot of people heard his message. He really did. They really did. They heard his message. But only 8 made it. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now he said that. He made that connection. As it was then, so will it be now. 8 souls got into the ark. And so I've been thinking on these thoughts. And this goes on to say, and with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought, just back one sister, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. And I said to Brother Freeborn yesterday about this, nothing, not even connected to this, it just so happens I did. They wanted to go and see the piece of ground, in case it ran away while they're at the wedding. Has anyone seen the ground running down the road? Now, why did Jesus say that? He said it because it's an excuse. That's all. I pray they have been excused. Another said, I bought 5 oxen of yoke, 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. In other words, he's bought his tractor. He wants to make sure it's okay. Well, he's already bought it. There's no need to prove it. It's yours. Another excuse. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Can't come with your wife to the wedding. Another excuse. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes in the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. He's really reaching out now. And compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I also would like to turn to Mark 16, verse 15. Our Lord again. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was delivered up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, these are very revealing scriptures of our generation and our time we're living in. And Lord, we've got to fit into one of these slots. Where do we stand in these things? I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd help us all to understand by the Spirit of God what you'd have us do. Lord, we commit it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please have your way, Lord, we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start this morning with a quote by Brother William Branham. I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Now, when the invitations were given out, speaking of the scripture we just read, the excuses were made. Then back they came and said, they won't come. Now, if you notice, the last time that he sent them out was to go out into the hedges and highways and byways, get the lame, halt, blind, and compel him to come in. For God has determined that his table will not be set and there'll be nobody there. God wants his tables full. The fatlings have been killed. Everything's fixed. Everything's ready. And if you'll notice, the last great message that was to go into the highways and byways. The last calling of the last invitation was a great time to sweep across the country in divine healing, he says. That was the last. And we're winding up at the end of that, just pulling into those loose ends right now. So how close is the coming of the Lord? He says this also. I'm afraid that is what's the matter with our churches today, brother, sister. We just don't stay long enough. We run in, shake hands with the pastor, put our name on the book, and we go home. Call ourselves a church member with no burden for the lost at all. No burden for the lost at all. Now, brother and sister, this is self-examination time. This is for you to think about and for me to think. Not your husband, your wife, you. All the young people here, it's for you to think about. We're not concerned about the missionaries overseas. We're not concerned about the starving anywhere else. We've got our tummies full. We've got a good, warm, nice church. And a fine intellectual pastor. Pray not. that would never say anything against the things that we're going, say nothing against the things we're doing. So we seem to be very well satisfied, see. Therefore, we're not concerned. We're not concerned about what goes on. But if you're convinced that Jesus Christ raised from the dead and will judge you for your sins and that his coming is at hand, and this is the Holy Spirit identifying himself, then you'll be concerned about other people too and getting them too. So I think that this introduction is clear. Our topic is simple and easy to understand. It's not deep teaching that we say, oh, I don't know what that means. It's clear. Where are the highways and byways today? We've all been asked to get out and proclaim the message of grace that God has given to us. Now, the Great Commission, I want you to, it's interesting to note that Jesus gave this, was the last word to the church. There was the Great Commission to get out and tell the world Jesus saves. Who believes Jesus saves? When somebody wants you to remember something, you'll say to them, now remember what I told you. This is, I want you, don't forget what I said now. And this is what Jesus is saying to you people. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to be taken up into heaven shortly. In a few moments, I'm going to rise off this ground. I'm going into the clouds. So I want you to listen. This was his last word. So Jesus did tell them again, Mark 16:15. And said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then in Mark 16:19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And we have this message in our hands, and we are responsible. God's going to hold me responsible for what I have done with his word. He's going to hold you responsible, and you out there on the internet as well. He's going to hold you responsible, all of us, what we have done with his word. We're going to be asked a question, what did you do? Now, the question we have, are we actively carrying out his request? I'm also speaking to the people that claim to believe this message of the hour. Have we got ourselves into such a state of comfort and ease that the highways and the byways have been forgotten a long time ago? Now, brothers and sisters, I don't care what the church does. I don't care what the message people do. God's word does not change. This is what he told us to do. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. The trouble is, we're living in a comfort zone of Laodicea. I'm preaching to myself. If it doesn't apply to you, that's fine. But I tell you what, I'm being preaching to myself. Have we, the message people, succumbed to the Laodicean spirit, which has been prophesied to be rampant in our day, prophesied to be this way in Laodicea? Have we, through the opening of the word, become self-satisfied with our lot? Ah, we understand the word for the day. Very nice. What are you doing about it? We've been so blessed with the message of God that he sent to us. We've lost our vision for the lost and perishing. There are people right now, as I speak, perishing and going to a lost eternity, and somebody yesterday could have spoken to them. As Brother Branham said in the beginning, call ourselves a church member with no burden for the lost at all. We're not concerned about the missionary overseas. We've got our tummies full. We've got a good, warm, nice church. So we seem to be very well satisfied. We're going to be answerable for what we have done with His word. It reminds me of the talents the Lord gave to His servants. You remember He gave 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent. You know, brother and sister, He gave them a talent, but you know what? They had to do something with it. He just didn't give them talents and they stuck them in their money box. They had to use it. We can't sit back and say, God will do it. God will one day do this. Or we begin to make excuses. Oh, this is for another day, this outreach. This is for the first outcalling of the gospel to the world. This is not the reason. This is not the season like it was. The campaign days are over. The outreach days are over. Who said? Show me in the Bible where it says that. We use His excuses to let us off the hook. I know there's seasons. There is seasons, but that's no excuse for you and I. But in no way does it alter the commission, whether there's seasons or no seasons. Souls are dying just the same, as they've always done. Souls are dying just the same as they have always done. They're dying now as I speak, without Christ and without hope. In fact, they're more than ever dying without Christ. And you know what? The end won't come until we get out there and do it. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, including New Zealand, and then shall the end come, not before. No, we've all been commissioned to go out and tell. We know that in the story Jesus told about the talents, one had 5 talents, He made 5 talents more. Another one had 2 talents, He made 2 more talents. And the last one made nothing. He was given a talent, He sat on it. He sat on what it was given to Him, the privilege of being able to lead a soul to eternal life. Eternity, that when they die, they're going to be with the Lord forever and ever because you told them. Now, brother and sister, these things are very real to me. I search my heart about it continuously. What am I doing to tell the person walking on the park? I see people on the park. I saw a lady yesterday. She said, what a beautiful day. I said, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. She said, amen. Invited me to a Jehovah's Witness convention. But nevertheless, Jehovah's Witness or not, Brother Branham said, I'd rather be a Russellite than have no light at all. They may be wrong, but at least they're seeking God. And so we see the last one made nothing. I believe the last church age is most guilty of all church ages, this age. You know, the open door outreach of Martin Luther too, and John Wesley and those, they got out and they preached. He preached 7 messages a day on the hillsides. He made a sermon going along on his horse, writing notes. Wouldn't need a whole lot of notes. Wouldn't need much because this is your notes. This is really the notes. What did God say? But she's so comfortable, Laodicea, in her comfort zone. Oh, just so comfortable. Going to sleep She has little concern for others. Now, I'm not talking about going out and help people to chop the wood. Now, that has a place, of course. But for one purpose, to tell them about their soul. Have you met Jesus Christ? Are you ready to meet him? That's the real work of God. Not just helping them to cook a meal. And that's good. These things are all part of that. But to get a connection with them. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, shall we read this? And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, that's unto us. This is what he says. These things saith the Amen, that's our Lord, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. See, this is this lady's sin issue. We're all in our cozy zone and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. So we all need to ask ourselves the honest question, is that us today? You don't have to agree with me. You answer this, is that how we are today? So where are the highways and the byways? Is it Gladstone Road, or is it State Highway 1 or 2 or... Is that what it's talking about?
I think about this too.
Yeah.
Who is my outreach? It's whoever the Lord puts before
me. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's your highway. Doesn't have to have a white line in the middle. So where are they being worked today? Where is the burden? The burden starts in here. It's got to be in here. Where are the workers? You know the workers, you know where the workers are today? Who wants to know where the workers are today? I'll tell you where the workers are today. They're huddled together in God's house, feasting on the word around his table. We're very comfortable and an undisturbed hothouse of oneness and comfort. But those out there are not touched. Generally not touched. We're very content to preach to one another without fear of disagreement or persecution. It's a comfort zone. Oh, we're accepted. We all agree. And they preach and all say amen, and that's nice. But what about the lost and dying on the highways and the byways? God has not changed his commission to this generation. Never. He's never changed his commission. We've been commanded to go out and bring them in. Instead, we've adopted they must come in first. It's not getting them into church. Well, that's nice. But that's not the key. To go out to them. And then we think that once they get in, we can help them. No, brother and sister. It's not like that. Nowhere in the scriptures are we instructed to wait until they come in. We're instructed to go out and to something else to do too. Compel them. Wow. Compel them to come in. Don't just say, oh, would you like to come to church? Oh, well, I'm too busy. Oh, okay. I said to a man, are you serving the Lord? Would you go to church or something? Is over here. He says, oh, well, I used to not. No, he says, I'm sort of on the fence. I said, that's dangerous. He said, why? I said, the coming of the Lord's at the door. I'm on the fence. He would have been standing on the tip of Noah's Ark at the ramp. Shall I go in? Shall I not? And the Bible says the flood came suddenly and took them all away, and they knew not until that happened. So how does God feel today about our slothful behavior? God, be merciful to us. I remember a song that Sister Green sometimes sings. I want you to listen to the words. In light of what has been said, there is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on the table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by. But the hush calms the singing, as the Father sadly says. My house is full, but my field's empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work my fields. No one wants to work my fields. It says, push away from the table. Look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain. And it's ripe unto harvest. The reapers, where are they? In the house. Oh, can't the children hear the Father sadly say? My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children want to stay around my table, but nobody wants to work my fields. Nobody wants to work my fields. I believe there's every song that was written under inspiration was then. I'm going to ask Sister Pauline to come and sing this for us, if she could. I remember when I used to hear Sister Green sing this, I used to weep. I thought it's so true. It is so true. Just grab the radio mic if you want to. What if you wish?
There is peace and contentment.
People want to go to conventions. They want to go to a place with good singing. And I love that too. But that's it. They do nothing about the fields. And Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Go out to the highways and the byways to compel them to come, and even your neighbor. Even the postman, whoever it may be that's coming your way. The fields are untouched. No one's out there. He says, the fair hair, the father sadly say, why don't my children want to work in the fields? Because I'm not a preacher. He didn't say anything about preachers. He's talking about his children. Getting out. Luke 10, 2, we read. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. F-E-W. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, brother and sister, if you don't think this message applies to you, think again. Because God laid this on my heart. He gave me a dream this morning. I came to church with something different, but he challenged me to speak on the subject. The Father's sad because we're not reaching Gisborne. We're not reaching out to those that are hungry. Because, oh, it's a barren time. That's right, therefore we work harder. People are happy to go to church and fill their own souls. When did you last speak to a soul about the Lord? Concerning the things of God and their soul being ready. When did you last speak to them? When did I? When did you last pray in your prayer room, in your closet, while you're waiting on the Lord for the souls of this city? The people outside in your neighborhood, people you're meeting, when did you pray for them? Has our prayers become filled with self and all about our own needs? Lord, bless me. Lord, help me with that. And there are times we do pray for that. The Bible says to ask. If you have a need, ask for it. We must pray for our own souls, true. But is that all we pray for? Do we pray for the people that are going to a lost eternity forever and forever and forever and forever? And you have a word that would save them. Oh, Lord. Help us, Lord. We are responsible. We have the means. Are we willing to give it? Do we pray that God will open the door of witness on the highway today? Wherever we're going. I want to say this, time is running out. We've got to work harder than ever. Time is running out. We don't have a lot of time left to work in God's field. John 9:4 says, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. But night cometh, the night cometh when no man can work. You see, brothers and sisters, it's going to be a cut-off time. What a terrible vision to see people being condemned to lost eternity, and you were standing there and you knew that you met them on the road. You met them in a shop, you met them in a bus or wherever it was, you met them and you held your peace. God be merciful. Don't be afraid. You'll be a lot more afraid over there. Don't be afraid of people. Some people, they may not look like they're going to receive it, but they may. They may be just waiting to hear your word, your testimony, what God's done for you. Time is running out. You've got to work while it is day. There will be a cut-off time for souls to come in. Jesus spoke about the 11th hour workers. We know the story. Coming right at the end, Matthew 21, 16, you can read that sometime. They'll be as much the bride of Christ as those that came in the beginning on the day of Pentecost, as those that came in 40 years ago. We have been prisoners coming in. We have seen prisoners coming in, with great certainty. They receive the same full blessing as those at Pentecost. We know that. This field is not necessarily overseas. It's wherever the highway is, a highway of opportunity. This field is wherever the Lord will lead you today or tomorrow or this week. It may be a family member, as I said before, your neighbor or even the postman or somebody, or a complete stranger you'd meet in the street, or at the bus stop or on an airplane, wherever it is, or everywhere. It is not just for ministers. It is not just for ministers. Ministers can't go everywhere. You've got to do your part. You've got to get into areas a minister cannot get into. But every body member has been commissioned. He didn't say, now I just want you apostles and I just want you people down there before he's taken up with over 500 watched. He's talking to everybody. The last call had a note of urgency about it. Because it was the last call and time is running out. Let's read that Luke 14:23 again. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them that my house may be full. Now, we cannot force salvation, but it means to constrain them to accept. We should apply an urgency to our message. And when you believe it, they'll see that you mean it. Nothing to do with coming to our church. That's all right. You need to catch them with a hook. Give them the word of God. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know he died for you? Do you know he died for your sins? Have you ever accepted it? That's all you have to do. Say, Lord, I receive this. Christ is coming. And we need to accept him today. We haven't got time to push him off, make excuses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the gospel of grace in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, Brother Smith Wigglesworth used to say when he's testifying to people, Brother Smith Wigglesworth used to go into a park and sit on a bench and wait for a person to come past, and he asked God for a convert every day. He said, I just spoke to them about the Lord, then I brought him the challenge. He said, don't leave them without the challenge. And the challenge was, have you received Jesus Christ? If they don't want it, that's not your concern. At least you gave them the opportunity. And on Judgment Day, you will be able to say, it'll play back. There's me telling them right now. What a terrible thing when they play back the film. On Judgment Day, and you're not saying that, you're just sitting there like a mute. Brother and sister, may God help us all. Compel them. We should apply the urgency to our message. Christ is coming and you need to accept him today, you tell them. Now is the day of salvation. We all need to re-examine where we are going and what are we doing. When the pressure comes, people will become more burdened. I want to read you something here, Brother Branham's. The church lost more ground in 10 years than it had gained all through the persecution. If there's anything that makes Christians lazy, is when they're on a flowered bed of ease. Makes them lazy, he said. We don't have persecution enough. We don't have it hard enough. Always at the chain is the strongest and its weakest link. The final day will really put the church in action. The pressure's coming on the church. I'm saying this now. It will stop all this nonsense we see today. People caught up in all these crazy doctrines, highfalutin nonsense. It's not even in the Bible or in the message, and have no burden for the lost. God be merciful to us. We cannot wait for tomorrow. Souls are dying every day, as I said. In John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields. For they are white or ready to harvest, and there's nobody in my fields, the song said. Where are the workers? They're just ripe grain just sitting there, unharvested. Listen to this very interesting quote. Now, I say this for some people who are very technical, after the seals was preached. So now I'm going to say something to you that I haven't said all along. That is, the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, for at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer, he said, the third pull has now been vindicated. Just vindicated. God showed it. Revealed what it was. That's all. And I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that. Because it cannot be. It cannot be. Now it's in existence. It could identify its presence among you, see. But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And he's speaking of the World Council of Churches. And when it does, when that does, but when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you're seeing temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. Who wants to see that?
Amen.
I want to see the fullness of the power of the spoken word ministry that he spoke of. Now I must continue. This is Brother Branham continuing on the subject. Very interesting. Now I must continue in evangelism. He says, oh no, we're going on now. We're going on to mysteries. He said, I must continue on in evangelism. Just as I was, you know. Just as I was commissioned first, I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word and you know what to look for. Now to stand, I must continue on in evangelism, he says. That's preaching the gospel. Brother and sister, you've got to preach the gospel. He says, I don't preach. Tell them what God's done for you. And friends of mine, keep still. And just keep moving on, for the hour is approaching swiftly. See? And when something is going to be done. God starts to move. I want to be in the right spot at the right time. I want to be anointed of God, doing what I was doing before. Now, brother and sister, he says, we're over 50 years down the way. More than 50 years now. So time's a premium. Let us work while it's day. Let us get onto our highway and seek the lost and dying in the hedges and the highways. God help us to have a greater burden for the lost, because God's going to hold you accountable. If you were there and you could have spoken to that young lady or to that young man or that old man or old sister, whoever it may be, you are responsible because God put you there and you failed to tell them. God, never let that be my case, Lord. I has been, I know. I pray it'll never be again. To seek out, not church members, but God's children. Who believes this? Do you love the Lord? Where are the highways and the byways? You say, why do I want to know? Because God's told you to get onto them. If he's told you to get onto the highways and byways, as Brother Lee said, it's not Gladstone Road or State Highway 2. It's not that. It's wherever God leads you. Maybe this afternoon he'll lead you to somebody. The petrol station or somewhere. That's your highway. Where the Spirit leads you, that's where you've got to go. Where he leads me, I will follow. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Oh God, make us responsible. You know, brother and sister, I just don't want to be found doing nonsense things, wasting my time when we could be serving the Lord. The time is running out for everybody. And we all have a commission. Go out into all the world, preach the gospel. Get unto the hedges, highways and byways, and tell them what Christ has done for you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Shall we just stand? Lord Jesus, we come to thee this morning, Lord. You know how much of a burden this is on my heart, Lord. And I thank you for the dream you gave me this morning, Lord, whenever it was. To see those people hungry, Lord, and everywhere seeking. It's not our responsibility to see how many we get in. It's not that. It's our responsibility to go tell whether they accept it or not. So I'm praying, Lord Jesus, that you'll give us a commission. You have given it. But Lord, we'll be willing to go out and tell. Move by your Spirit, Lord. Move in every heart here this morning, those listening with us. May they too see the responsibility they have. I always think when somebody passes away off the scene, some accident somewhere, the first question comes to my mind is, did they know the Lord? That's all that matters. And Lord, did anyone tell them about you? Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. May we not escape. Moved by your Spirit, I pray, Lord, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Rescue. Snatch them in pain from sin and the grave. We What Jesus has told us, we are responsible to rescue them. We are rescuers for the gospel. We are rescuers for heaven. So let's sing this again. Down in the hue, crushed by the tempter, feeling the bear, grace can restore, touched by a loving heart, waked by kindness, for that we're broken, we'll vibrate once more, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save, rescue the perishing. That's just my sermon in a nutshell. Let's sing this chorus again. Anyone wants prayer, just feel free to come. And then I'll ask Brother Tim to come and close and pray. Oh, Lee, is it? I can't remember. Sort it out. Rescue the
precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would move in by your Holy Spirit, Lord, and give us a true Holy Spirit burden, Lord, for lost, Lord, for the lost ones, Lord. Lord, not forgetting our families, Lord, but also those that we meet, Lord, those that we work with, Lord Jesus, that you would, Lord, set our hearts aflame, Lord, that we might speak to them, Lord, of your saving grace, Lord, and your mercy, Lord, and what you've done in our own lives, Lord, and your power to save, Lord Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you for your message this morning, Lord. And we just commit our fellowship, Lord, around the luncheon, Lord, that we would ask you would bless it, Lord, and the fellowship, Lord. I just pray and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You're dismissed.